This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week.
The album you will be reviewing this week is 52nd Street by Billy Joel.
All right. I'm not familiar. I'm probably familiar with some of the songs on this album.
Yeah, probably.
But I don't know the album. But anyway, this is a description of the song. It says, 52nd Street is the sixth studio album by Billy Joel, released on October 13th, 1978. Following the massive success of The Stranger, this album solidified Joel's status as one of the premier singer-songwriters of the late 70s. The album blends rock, jazz, and pop influences, incorporating a more sophisticated urban sound compared to its predecessor. It won the Grammy Award for Album of the Year in 1980, marking a peak in Joel's career. The title refers to the famous 52nd Street in Manhattan, once a hub for jazz musicians, which reflects the album's jazzier elements. All right, so this was released on October 11th, 1978, and the genres are rock and jazz rock. And the label is Family Productions and Columbia Records, and it was produced by Phil Ramone. And if you're listening along, which we do encourage you to do, the album is pretty even between side one and side two. There's nine songs of the album, so the first four songs make up side one. The album starts with Big Shot, and side one ends with Zanzibar. So if you want to pause at after the song Zanzibar, and we'll have a discussion at the halfway point. And we've linked the album in the show notes to both Spotify and Apple Music, so you can get it on your preferred streaming service. And I think without further ado, okay, here we go. Here is the first song on the album, Big Shot. All right, and ending side one with Zanzibar. I'm actually pretty, I'm enjoying this so far. It's a little more pop, but I was never that big into Billy Joel, but I'm actually really enjoying his songwriting here.
He is a good songwriter. Yeah, it's not a bad album. It's like you said, it's a little bit poppier than what I would normally go for, but it's not bad at all, really.
And the two songs that I know so far, Big Shot and My Life, I've heard those songs. Those are big hits that he had. Billy Joel has sort of always struck me as he's kind of like the Quentin Tarantino of music.
Okay.
In the sense that so if you know about anything about Quentin Tarantino's filmmaking, he tends to borrow a lot, and he'll make different films in different genres that he likes. And I feel like Billy Joel does the same thing. Like, there was one album he did in the 80s where each song was a different style, one was like a Motown song, one was like a 50s rock and roll kind of thing. So in the sense that he sort of decides, okay, I'm going to make a song in this genre right now. The much the same way that Quentin Tarantino does. And I kind of feel like he's sort of doing that a little bit here. That song Zanzibar had a lot of, that was probably one of the description of the album was talking about the more jazz influences on the album. And I think that song in particular is probably the biggest jazz influenced song we've heard, at least so far.
So far. Yeah. Well, yeah, it has an entire jazz breakdown in it. And it's, yeah, it's pretty cool. The song was like, I always liked the song My Life. I thought it was a pretty good song. Big Shot's surprisingly rocky for someone like him. Although, you know, he would definitely dabble in that from time to time. Like, I think it was on his debut, or at least his previous album. The one that made him big was, what was the song?
Piano Man?
No, I was thinking Only the Good Die Young was a pretty rocky song. So, but I definitely respect his dabbling into other genres and stuff like that, and pulling out whatever he wants to do. So,
you know, it's funny. I was so Conan O'Brien has a really good podcast, and. Actually, Chris Robinson was on there, and he brought up, they were trying to figure out what's that one Billy Joel song where he turns into a vampire, and they're going, what are you talking about? And then the light bulb, you could see the light bulb go off in Conan O'Brien's like, oh, it's no, you had to be a big shot, didn't ya? And like that, there's that one line delivery in the song Big Shot that he delivers like almost like Dracula or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, every time I hear that, I can't not think of that since I heard that. So, yeah. He doesn't make new music anymore. He mostly tours. So I don't know if he was, which I kind of respect. I mean, I kind of respect that he sort of said, you know what, I'm not, he hasn't made a new album of new music since 1993. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, he sort of realized like, you know, I don't really have anything else in me. Like this is it.
Which is, I respect him recognizing that about himself, but I'm also a little surprised that he wouldn't have anything else in him.
Yeah, me too. But you know, I guess he was very prolific in his first,
late 70s, early 80s. He was all over the place. Yeah. That was his peak.
In the 70s, he put out one album every year. This is 78, and this is his sixth album.
Yeah.
And put his first one out in 72. So that's one a year in the 70s, which, I mean, that's insane output, you know.
So Billy Joel doing this in the late 70s was sort of like, I guess being more of a, again, he's a little more rock and roll than just a pop artist, but for the sake of the argument, he's more of a pop star. And the output from like people who are like right in the forefront of the pop music industry is generally a little bit more more frequent, more prolific than say most bands. Like if you're in like rock and roll or jazz or something like that, you can usually get away with like one every few years. Even today, you get a little bit like that. So
yeah, you kind of have to stay relevant. You have to sort of up your output to stay relevant. So I think, you know, if this were to be released today, I don't think it would really do much. Like this is sort of like, it has sort of gone on. Like this album has become like an album that people sort of reference, but it still has that, like it's still sort of stuck in time. It's still sort of stuck in the late 70s. Like people listen to it now, like in a sort of a retrospective sort of way, but it, like, it's still sort of, like, it's still sort of a late 70s kind of album. Like, and so I don't think if this style of music, like this style that he is doing here, if it were to be released today, I don't think it would really do much.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that show tune sort of vibe to it in a little bit. And sometimes, you know, Elton John would be sort of the same way, and, you know, and, you know, that's not really a bad thing. It's just, it's definitely a style in rock and roll that really only existed in the late 70s, mid to late 70s. Yeah, even in the 80s, you know, with Punkmen being around for a while and New Wave taking over, that sort of style was very, it just seemed very old hat, and it never came back. Unless you were like actually putting on like a musical or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And then that's not actually a complaint. I mean, you know, I find you get that mostly from artists for some reason when they're piano players, they just sort of have that sort of sound, whereas a guitar player doesn't give off that sort of a vibe for some reason. I don't know. It's just something I've noticed, and it's not.
Yeah, because it's something that I definitely noticed when we did that Elton John album, Captain Fantastic. Yeah, it's. Well, his whole thing was very, you know, he would wear outrageous costumes and stuff in the 70s, but more than that, yeah, the music sort of was more, I don't even know what the word for it is, like more in that vaudeville sort of vein, I suppose. I did manage to find a few interesting facts about the album. This was actually the first album to ever be released on CD. In 1982, 52nd Street made history as the first commercially available compact disc CD when Sony released it in Japan. This marked the beginning of the CD era in music, which is kind of cool. I mean, I guess there has to be a first, right? So
yeah, some CD had to be it, and I guess this one is it. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. So the Grammy-winning success, the album won Album of the Year at the 1980 Grammy Awards, cementing Billy Joel's place among the music's elite. It was the first album to receive. It was his first album to receive this honor, which actually kind of surprised me because I know he had had quite a bit of success earlier than this album. So I didn't realize that it, you know, it was that late that he won a Grammy for his work.
Yeah. You know, he had some, like, sort of like a cult following, and I think his stuff has since become popular. His earlier stuff has since become popular, which sort of happens. Kind of like Bob Seger or...
Steve Miller Band?
Yeah, Steve like Miller Steve Band, Miller too. Band? Yeah. Although, his stuff... His early stuff seems to be largely ignored again.
That's true. That is true.
I rarely hear it anywhere. I mean, I had to search it out, and it's pretty good. Actually, I was thinking of, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yes. Yeah, his first couple albums were sort of more underground. Yeah, I guess it wasn't until Born to Run that he sort of broke through.
Exactly.
So yeah, then this album, it has a jazzier sound inspired by 52nd Street's history, which we covered in the description. It says the album title references 52nd Street in Manhattan, once a hotbed for jazz clubs and famous musicians like Charlie Parker and Miles Davis. The influence is heard in tracks like Zanzibar, which features a trumpet solo by jazz great Freddie Hubbard. So that's pretty cool. It says, the song In My Life became a TV theme song. The song In My Life, My Life, was used as the theme song for the TV show Bosom Buddies. starring a young Tom Hanks. However, Billy Joel did not sing the TV version. Studio musicians re-recorded it.
Interesting.
The cover art shot outside of CBS Studios. The album cover featured Billy Joel holding a trumpet, was shot in an alleyway near CBS Studios in New York. The location was just off the real 52nd Street, tying the album's title and jazz inspiration. So those are some interesting facts about the album. So I guess we'll get into the second side of the album. But before we do that, let's hear from our friends over at the Pick a Disc podcast. So check that out.
Do you like music? Do you like podcasts? Chances are you like music podcasts. Take this one, for example, Pick a Disc, where every fortnight a guest comes on to talk about an album for whatever reason they want to. Sometimes they like it, sometimes perhaps even something else other than just like it. You just listen to the podcast and find out. We talk about the album, we talk about the songs, we talk about the artists, we talk about tangent things that are slightly related, and sometimes we deviate off tangents. But don't worry, we'll always bring it back in the end. But you can find us on all your social medias and all the podcast apps for searching for Pick a Disc. You can also find us on the part of the Weedig Podcast Network under Linktree/WeedigPodcasts. And until then, happy listening to all those discs that you are picking. Goodbye.
We'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
All right, and ending the album with 52nd Street. Yeah, I enjoyed this album. The second half sort of had more of those, the show tune sort of vibe happening with it, but yeah, I think overall it's a pretty good pop album.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
You know, he's one of those artists that, you know, it was surprising because, like, that last song, 52nd Street, he sounded like a completely different singer, and I actually had to look it up to see if it was someone else singing, and there's no credit to someone else singing that song. So I'm assuming that it's him singing that.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, yeah. So, like, he's, like I said, he's one of those artists that, I think he's one of those artists that are, he's kind of like, in terms of, like, comparing him to another musician, he's more like, I don't know. I don't know who else to compare him to, but he's not necessarily writing songs that are very personal. At least not here, I don't think. They're more songs that are sort of, they're more of like the sort of
cinematic in some way.
Cinematic, but more so like the Brill Building sort of style of songwriting, whereas like sort of writing songs in for to like to be hits or to be like writing songs for the sake of writing a song, rather than someone like Bruce Springsteen, who would like, I've got a batch of songs that I've written, so now it's time to make an album. It's sort of like Billy Joel is sort of just sort of churning them out. Not to say that they're bad songs, but I feel like they're a little less personal.
Yeah, it could be. You know, some of them probably are personal to him in some way or another, but the style of writing is definitely it's not. I think I know what you mean. It doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like introspection or anything like that. It sounds
right,
more like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not introspective. Yeah, it's like it's crafting a song rather than writing poetry, for lack of a better word, and putting it to music. But that's not really a fair way to say it. I don't quite know how to say it, but I think you know what I mean.
I think I know where you're trying to get to, and yeah, it's a little hard to sort of put your finger on.
So, like, what would be your three sort of standout tracks on the album then?
Let's see here. Well, I got to go with My Life, because that's just a good song. I've always liked that one. Maybe Half a Mile Away. was pretty good. And I guess I'm going to go with Big Shot.
So those are solid choices. Yeah, I would probably go with, I really like Stiletto. I like the piano, the rhythm of the piano in Stiletto. And I liked Honesty. And
I think I'd heard Honesty before somewhere. It just has the...
It was a minor hit from the album. Like, it wasn't a huge hit, but it was, you know, released as a single. So you probably would have heard it. So yeah, I'd go Stiletto, Honesty, and yeah, probably Big Shot. I always like that song. I always like that song. So then would you listen to this album again?
Probably. It's not one of the ones I'd put on all the time, but, you know, from time to time, it might be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those albums that, it's sort of like, you know, I would have to be in a certain mood for it. I would have to be in a pretty like positive sort of upbeat mood in order to want to hear this again, I think. But I think I would like to, it's almost a party album, not necessarily a big, you know, dance album, but a song that you would put on at an album you would put on, at a gathering of friends or something, you'd put this album on.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. If you did enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And we'd love it if you would leave us a rating and review, because it really helps new listeners find us. And if you want to support the show and get some exclusive content, you can get a shout out at the during these episodes, and you can get these episodes the day before they go live. Head on over to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. And, you know, if you can also check out the website. Go to polyphonicpress.com. You can get the whole back catalog of all these episodes. And all other updates there and everything like that. And I think that pretty much does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.